Part 1 of Hollywood, Its Morals and Manners. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Chuck Williamson. Hollywood, Its Morals and Manners, by Theodore Dreiser. Part 1. The Struggle on the Threshold of Motion Pictures. There is, first of all, the matter of personal equipment or fitness for the work in hand. But when you say that, you say something which, instanter and automatically as it were, rules out thousands and hundreds of thousands even, who might like to shine in pictures, and who may have some slight equipment or technique, not only physically but mentally, but who are very, very far from having enough. A symmetry in the matter of any of the features, however slight, an unsatisfactory poise or walk, even where youth and beauty, to a no inconsiderable degree, is granted, brains and tact and charm included, and the deal is off. The beginner must screen, and screen well, or there is no hope. Yet, after you have disposed thus easily of those millions who might hope to do a little something, though not much, there come the thousands, and tens of thousands even, who, qualifying in part, might hope to do a little something, though they never will, because of the immense and grueling competition, and the distressing and discouraging exactions of the game itself. It is true that not a few of these do breast the tumbling stream for a time, but finding the current a little, or rather very much, rough, and so nothing to their taste, they make for the shore and climb out before it is too late. Next, out of all the thousands and thousands who come and go within a given period, 1 to 3 years disposes of the most of them, there are actual thousands who have a certain definite capacity for the work, and who, had they but the means and the courage to persevere, plus always beauty and tact, might come to something if, in addition, and there certainly is the rub, they had a little luck. For here, as elsewhere, where the great prizes are handed out, it is not always extreme fitness, but luck that turns the tide. Someone who can do something for you at a decisive moment does it. Or he or she, for some inexplicable reason, decides not to do it. There, fairest reader, is the whole thing in a nutshell, and you may ponder over it from now until the millennium, but you will not solve it. There is a destiny that shapes our ends. The more you delve into the reasons for the successful outcome of certain ventures in this as in other realms, the more certain you will become that fate or luck, kismet, certainly had something to do with it. Yet, waiving all this as of no especial import in the present discussion, there confronts the beginner today a keen and grilling competition, such as those who entered upon the work 10 or 12 years ago knew nothing of. According to some of the cynical directors who flourish in the vicinity of the larger studios, Kansas, Texas, Iowa, Nebraska, and Missouri actually maintain schools and colleges wherein the essentials of screen technique are taught so that no time may be lost between stellar aspirations and stellar honors. After 6 months or a year of study, the graduate is handed a handsome diploma, armed with which he or she need only present him or herself to the nearest director of note in filmland, and the thing is done. Fame and fortune, And then, of course, comes the chilling eye of the casting director, or rather his second or third assistant, peering out from behind the little gray courtesy window in the little gray outer office where people are told that no one is wanted or expected, and that no one can be seen here. Comes the pathetic discovery that said diplomas are worthless. Also cast down thoughts, bustlings about to find anything at all that one may be permitted to do. Then letters home when one's funds become low, and eventually, in so many cases, the long trek back to the unwelcome, if welcoming, precincts of the Middle West, or New England, or the South, or the North. Even Europe yields aspirants who eventually go back. But this is a mere hint as to the fate of so many who come and try, or have in the past. For, during the past year, and in spite of the 19,000 moving picture theaters now in existence or building in the United States alone, there has been a decided slump in aspirants, as well as in working or successful screen personalities. The 60 or more studios in Los Angeles and its outlying suburbs, once so vivid and sibilant with cars, extras, directors, assistant directors, and whatnot, are now as silent as so many factories in time of panic. The good or bad word, all along the line, is nothing doing. In one place you will hear that it is those cheaply made German pictures that are to blame, pictures for acting in which the most vital stars are never paid more than $40 a week, in marks, of course, which same may mean something like 5 or 6,000 marks, if one can believe the discount rate. Or it is due to a group of swollen and heavy-pursed bankers in New York who, seeing how money was being wasted in the movies and how unimportant directors and the most commonplace of stars built houses costing $150,000 and more out of the proceeds of one picture, have withdrawn all support until they can get a square deal in this matter, and until a larger proportion of these very fat proceeds are handed over to them. Or lastly, you may hear that it is our old friend overproduction. The can rooms of the principal distributing offices in New York and elsewhere are packed to overflowing with canned or completed films made in these same recent bonanza days. And until these are used up, and at a better price too, there will be no more picture making anywhere. Well, take your choice. As for me, I vote that we blame the poor Hun. He's used to it by now. But whether we do or not, there are the studios, and they are as empty and silent as rat traps after they have been recently emptied. Those horrible Teutons! Yet apart from such crass accidents of economics, and assuming that there was plenty of work for many, which at this time there is not, there are and will remain all of these problems connected with the matter of outfitting oneself, to say nothing of acquiring the technique of the screen itself, which only those who have been engaged with the problem for some time, even dimly, begin to sense. There is the matter of makeup, for one thing, a problem so simple-seeming and yet so different and difficult for each one, that few of all the many who assay pictures really master it to their own or anyone else's satisfaction. It is not so easy as it looks. Again, there is the matter of dress. So few seem to grasp clearly the importance of individuality or what it means to make the right impression at all times and everywhere upon those who may be of use to one, be they who they will. Now this, unfortunately, is not only a matter of innate taste and looks, but of means. And how many can assay the task with sufficient means? A very shrewd and practical casting director of one of the great film corporations answering the question as to what more in addition to beauty and brains too is needed to help her in success in movie land, replied, "Lots of coin, enough for a 2 or 3 year fight in comfort, and with all the clothes she finds she really needs." Which same is true. And as if to piece this thought out, another one, who is quite as high in the profession, after making up the usual list of essentials, beauty, brains, etc., added that she ought to have slaying power. And this is true also. But how many of those who essay the moving picture game, even where they have the essentials and means into the bargain, are fighters? How many? The scores of thousands who have already tried and failed, as anyone connected with the industry will tell you, provide the best answer. As a matter of fact, I doubt if anyone outside the actual practice of this profession really realizes how many of all those who have wished in times past to shine in pictures have actually gone to Los Angeles and tested for themselves the nature of the difficulties which confront the beginner. The thousands who have been stopped by the telegrams of anxious parents addressed to the police of Los Angeles. The hundreds and even thousands who have been lured on by agents and properly fleeced before they were allowed to escape without experiences which their best wishes will never quite succeed in erasing. The thousands who have come with a few hundred or a few thousand dollars even and gone bad, who rented rooms or took an apartment or with father and mother as a helpful background, even rented a house. The pater or mater entering upon a business of some kind in order that daughter might feel at home and not get discouraged too soon. The few hundreds, even the few thousands, were soon or not quite so soon used up. And daughter, or lone aspirant, decided after many painful searchings of the heart that it was no use. Not one, but thousands. After contesting with the ultra-severe conditions that confront the beginner at every turn in Los Angeles, have packed their few or many remaining belongings, snapped a picture of the house, or the room, or the street in which they have dwelt while they tried, and then sorrowfully taken the next train out. They couldn't quite make it. The struggle was too grim. But that is a type of picture that you will never see in the movies. It didn't end happily. Setting all this aside, as though it were not, if you can, there are still those hundreds and even thousands of apartments and hall bedrooms in Hollywood and other points adjacent to Los Angeles, to say nothing of handsome bungalows and estates built out of the proceeds of past salaries that house hundreds upon hundreds, nay, even thousands, I should say, of waiting stars, first and second heavy leads, vamps, beauties, bit part workers, extras, trick performers, people who own and train clever animals and the like, to say nothing of raw and inexperienced beginners who do not even know as yet that there is such a thing as a casting director or an agent who are still about and hoping and waiting for things to take a turn. They cannot very well go back. Transcontinental rates are very high. The news from New York and Chicago is that things theatrical are very dull indeed, and the movies might pick up at any time, especially once a very high tariff wall is erected around the American-made film. But the substance of all this is that the thousands who were once so vigorously and even viciously competing with each other for place in or near the movie world are now on the sidelines, eyeing one another and the silent studio walls. And this is just a fraction, and a very minute one, of the many difficulties that are certain to assail the aspirant in this realm. Yet, setting aside even this condition, and assuming that there was plenty of work for many, there still would be all of those many problems connected with the matter of fitting oneself for the work and getting along in this world which only those who have been engaged with the problem for some time even dimly begin to realize. In fact, I doubt if anyone outside the actual practice of this profession could be made to believe the amount of courage and technical care and actual work that is daily brought to bear on their problems by those who are determined to succeed in this work, and who have little outside of their own skill and determination to assist them. This relates to dress, makeup, impersonation, the illusion, if not the reality of charm, search for work, attempted contacts with those who may be of use to one in such one little way or another, things which those who must do constantly, yet which those who do not have to would not care to do and would never understand. There are girls and men and women who use every personality they come in contact with in the hope of bettering themselves, though this may extend to nothing more than being seen with them somewhere in order that they may be seen by others in such very good and so possibly helpful company. Then there are those hours and hours daily spent in going about from one studio to another or one agent to another in search of work. Or if not that, other hours spent before a three-leaf mirror practicing a smile, a gesture, a position of the head or arm, a curve of the lips, or a lift of the eyebrow, that which nothing is thought to be more important in pictures, screenically speaking. There is the study that may be given to a walk, to dancing, to one's color scheme, to the curve of the eyebrow, once all the troublesome hairs of the eyebrow itself have been removed. For no effective eyebrow is made of anything save soft leaden these days, penciled above the eyes with the utmost care. A most interesting world, truly. Can you imagine, for instance, a raging beauty who in whatsoever commonplace garb she might choose to fare forth anywhere would instantly attract the attention of not only all men, but all women? One who, if not taken by ambition to shine in this realm, might lie abed, guarding by ease and rest a gift which she certainly prizes. Yet who, throughout long or short engagements, yielding her no more at first than 7.50, or at most 10 a day, getting up day after day as early as 5:30 or even 5 in the morning, the object being to give herself ample time in which to decorate herself fitly for the work in hand. Yet so it is. And then, after an hour and a half, maybe of the latter, repairing to some counter cafe or beanery for a cup of coffee, and then taking the nearest streetcar to her work, and the latter requiring as much as an hour more of her time to get her there. It is a commonplace in the movie realm. A very large majority of those who seek to make their way in this realm can afford nothing better than the streetcars to get them over the great distances which lie between studios in the Western metropolis. And out of her small earnings thus collected, she is not only compelled to provide herself with the various and expensive articles of makeup required, but most frequently, and especially in the case of the smaller studios, her costumes into the bargain. Yet all day on any important set at any of the studios, you may find her in sufficient numbers to cause you to wonder, and in company of from 1 to 500 of those who are less favored, waiting patiently about in order to be permitted to take part in some atmospheric ensemble which, once it is shot, may never appear in the picture. Before she is 3 months old in the work, she knows, if she knows anything, that not only are not all shots taken used, but that those who work in atmosphere are never, not even by accident, seen to advantage on the screen. The wise director and his assistants see to that. The star, the leads, and those who are so fortunate as to interpret important character bits are intentionally given all the worthwhile positions and scenes. Her purpose, of course, unless she chances to be otherwise cared for, which is often enough, ambition directing such a compromise, is to pay her way, next to provide herself with the very necessary costumes which a future in this work demands. Also, there is always the hope that in the process of such work, at some time or other, she, her beauty, charm, some little thing which at any moment she may, by accident, as it were, be called upon to do, may win her the attention of somebody who at some time or other in the future may do her some good, professionally speaking. Preferably, this should be a director or a casting director. Yet, if not one of these, then an assistant director, or a cameraman even, at least someone who, at some time or other in the future, and when some other cast is being discussed, may say a good word for her. It would seem a little enough thing to hope for in so immense a realm as this. Yet even these minor things are plainly looked upon by many as very great helps or stepping stones. So you may judge for yourself how strenuous the game really is. Of course, the shrewd and determined seeker after fame, if not fortune, is not long in determining for herself the exact conditions and character of the contest in which she is involved. She measures to a nicety, after a time, the probabilities in her individual case as opposed to the probabilities in the cases of all the hundreds and even thousands of others whom she may chance to see in the course of a year or more. Out of this, by slow or swift degrees, comes the decision to persist or abandon the grueling contest. If it is a decision to persist, than it is to some such life as this that I have described, that she is at least willing to devote herself for a while longer anyhow, and all the while, according to her means, she will be doing her very best to improve herself in such ways as she can, without any very noticeable breadth of mind. As a rule, you will find her as a person who takes a very intense interest in clothes and herself as related to them. She haunts the shops of the hairdressers and manicurists, the dressmakers and milliners, studying what they have to offer and what they can do for her, and little else. If, before coming here, she has not given the matter of dress and toilet that full and exquisite attention which they deserve in her case, you may well believe that before she is here 3 or at best 6 weeks, she will. One glance about the studio set, filled as it is usually with atmospherians of her own sex and related ambitions, and she will sense most keenly in what direction her defects lie, and, not unlikely, how they are to be remedied. Her skirt is not right. Too long, too short, too full, too tight. Very well. She will fix that tomorrow. Her hair is not done just right. Where did she ever get the idea that to arrange it as she does now was best? There is another girl over there of much the same coloring and shape as herself, hair, eyes, head, and all, and see how she does her hair, and how much more effective it is. Presto! That error has been disposed of forever. It will be the same with her manner of walking, her method of receiving and disposing of welcome or unwelcome attentions for superiors or inferiors, her manner of powdering, decorating her lips, her eyes, her hair, or, reassured as to her own judgment in these matters and her charm, she will hold fast to what she has and knows, and smile serenely upon those who are plainly not so practiced in these matters as is she, and keep her counsel too. For what she has learned with difficulty, she is by no means eager to impart. Let the others find out in the same hard school as did she. If still in doubt about anything, however, the utmost unrest, experiment, and self-criticism and inquiry of others will follow until, at last, she may have solved the very delicate and seemingly cobwebby problems of her satisfaction. Now, to the bystander, who is not interested in, or cannot be made to understand, the extreme difficulty encountered in registering photographically thoughts as well as emotions and beauty, all this might seem a matter of vanity, but not so. Those intense perturbations of soul, the veritable Golgotha sweats that follow upon uncertainty in regard to any, the least of these things in the mind of the beginner, to her, these things certainly mark all the differences between success and failure, that very immense success, no less, to which she so ardently aspires. Upon the primary intensity of her application to the same, as she sees it, her inmost grasp of their import depends much of the speed with which she will get on, other things being favorable, of course. Yet, in addition, at first, as she well knows, the matter of mere externalities, also the physical or dress impression she makes on casting directors, agents, directors, assistant directors, and others, is of the utmost importance, and so it is that she combines study of registration, mental and emotional, with care as to her more physical garb. For in the main, and strange as it may seem, considering the fact that screen productions as well as those of the legitimate stage are supposed to deal with all types of character and emotion, she is most anxious to be remembered as beautiful, feeling that that impression will not only get farther at first, but at all times afterward. Later, the ability to register the required moods will clinch this first impression and so save the day for her. At this moment, then, literally hundreds of girls and women, for that matter, of the rarest beauty, to say nothing of emotional and dramatic sense, in many cases, business sense, business judgment, force, energy, tact, and determination, are concentrating with a single-mindedness that would do credit to a Rockefeller or a Schwab on the above problems. Deprivation for the moment is nothing. The tang and sting of the game makes up to them for that. Insults and annoyances are nothing. There are those, no doubt, who even like them. Compromise, if need be, is nothing. They will do anything, all to win, and then smile condescendingly upon those still in the melee, or who retire beaten, having scarcely the time or the spirit to assist any, even if they had the inclination. And if the truth were known, they would not, in many cases, spiritually wipe their feet upon the many who, from time to time, in the course of their upward struggle, have compelled them to yield their favors for a price. It is a part of the cost in nearly all cases, but not to be looked back upon, in many cases, with much pleasure. They took it into consideration at the opening of the contest. Here and there, unquestionably, is a producer, a casting director, a director, etc., who would not, as a rule, disturb anyone, and who seeks only the merit that is necessary for the adequate representation of a given film. But for everyone such, there are at least five who have no such ethical or commercial standards. They combine business with pleasure as much as they dare, and in not a few cases one might safely add, no pleasure, no business, at least for the more attractive beginner. It may seem a coarse and vulgar thing to report, but so it is. And happy the girl or woman who, a bargain being struck, is so fortunate to find someone who will honestly endeavor to further her interest. Now, nothing could be further from the purpose of these articles than to set up a sentimental defense of the assumed reserve and virtue of the many who take up pictures as a profession. Neither is there any puritanic desire to condemn. By far the greater number of girls and women who essay this work know very well beforehand, via hearsay or exact information, the character of the conditions to be met. And if they do not know it beforehand, they could not be about the work a month before they would be aware of the general assumption of those connected with the work, the males in particular, of course, that all women connected with the work are potentially, if not actually, of easy virtue. Therefore, if they resent this and still linger about the scene, ambition or not, the responsibility is, at least, in part, theirs. And a very large number linger, not only quite willingly, even though they may possess ample means to go elsewhere if they choose, but they rather relish, I think, the very lively war that is here persistently on between the sexes. They are by no means innocents, or lambs being led to the slaughter, and not a few relish the personal and emotional freedom which life in this realm provides. For most of those who eventually undertake the struggle are already mentally liberated from most of the binding taboos which govern in the social realms from which they emanate. And many of them have already long resented them. Anyone familiar with this realm could spin a long tale as to this. Nevertheless, it is not to be doubted that here and there among the many who essay the work are a few who have not previously scented correctly the nature of the conditions, and others who, knowing of them, have either not been willing to believe, or they have concluded that whatever the conditions, they themselves are bomb-proof and can make their way despite these conditions. But they find it difficult just the same. Very, and never doubt it. I have in mind, for instance, certain comedy-producing masters and owners of studios who, apart from established character interpreters of a humorous turn, who can make their way anywhere, of course, will give no opportunity to the novice of the female persuasion who is beautiful, unless she is not married or is most careful to conceal the fact. And what is more, even emotionally engaged applicants need not apply. Not that the work itself is of such a nature as to preclude its proper interpretation by one who chances to be so engaged, but because these lords of these very petty domains are, Solomon-wise, determined to attach to their already extended harems, potentially, if not actually, at the time, all those of sufficient charm who hope to prosper by their favor in any way. This may sound crude and exaggerated to a degree, but I am here to assure you that it is not. They want these beauties at their beck and call at all times, apparently, and for no other reasons than that they prefer them socially even more than they do as screen workers, and they cannot endure the thought of another who may, by any chance, have a prior claim. No immediate and willing response at any time, night or day, seemingly to their demands, and there will be no work for them in that studio. Crude? Exactly. But efficient. And I might add that any and all of those high-salaried and comfortable vice-snoopers who are even now so busily engaged hailing before the courts of the land respectable publishers, to say nothing of serious authors whose only crime is that they seek, via admirable letters, to set forth pictures of the social state of the time, might better be engaged in bringing to light the truth of this, if only such truth were sensibly and honestly dealt with. But they are cautious and self-preserving, as well as self-advantaging company, these same who have the morals of the country in charge. You will find them taking no note of what is here set forth, for the good and sufficient reason that it is far more dangerous to attack any of these barons of the movie realm than it is the average hard-pressed publisher and author of distinction, for the former have the means and the courage to make trouble for these snoopers, and would. Hence the wide berth given them by these salary-hunting purists, who will devote months and years even, hounding to earth the less well-heeled but serious worker and publisher who can make no expensive and hence very damaging defense. If you are not prepared to believe this, I commend your attention to the undisturbed social condition in the moving picture and theatrical worlds generally. Not that I desire to stir up trouble for these very worthy and thirst-satisfying industries, which are unquestionably meeting a wide public demand, but rather that the burden of enduring all of the petty and self-advantaging industry of the snoopers may, in part at least, be lifted from the shoulders of the hard-working author and his publisher. But the above is mere fact. There is the commonplace director of the smaller comedy and other film companies who, invariably and almost as a matter of course, makes overtures to every attractive worker who enters upon a set that he chances to be directing. Not that he thereby, and by reason of his position, is able to force himself into the good graces of those who chance to fall within the range of his authority, as that, in many instances, he makes it all but a condition of further employment under him that something be done by the worker of physical charm to assuage his very emotional and yearning temperament. It seems a little petty, to say the least, especially where the worker in question has secured the brief employment in question by the most arduous and persistent industry, and where the salary connected with the work, and especially for the brief time that work is to be had anywhere on any set, is entirely incommensurate with the ability and service required. Yet so it is. And you may hear some of the very comfortable employers of labor in this sense, laughing over or boasting their several conquest, the while at other moments, yet in the same connection, they may be heard denouncing such and such a worker, thus used in the past as a this or a that. It might be a little amusing if it were not quite so drastic. Then there are the casting directors of some of these institutions, not all of them by any means, I must hasten to add, who are not above selling opportunities to the needy, or at least the fame-hungry among those who apply to them and who chance to take their fancy, for a return of a pleasurable nature to them, of course. Not that all of them have so very much in the way of an opportunity to offer anyone, or that those for whom that bid do not, in many cases, know that, or that they succeed so very often. I do not think they do, certainly not in the cases of the more exceptional of their applicants, at least not often. And there is the type of aspirant who is not above advantaging herself in this rather shabby fashion. Around the meaner type of studio, I have good reason to know that they are very common. The illusion or vain hope is that it will do them good, artistically. The thing takes on a disgusting look at times, but so do aspects of certain other professions, nearly all of them. Yet there is no one in the profession today who does not know that sex in one form and another is the principal and hence the determining factor in the rise of most of those beauties among the women who hope to go far, and that there have been and will be many compromises of a decidedly sordid character in order that screen success may be attained. The most irritating feature of the whole thing, though, really, are these constant and decidedly brazen overtures on the part of so many who are among the humblest of the attaches, the general assumption on the part of so many callboys, cameramen, assistant directors, and who not else,
that all of these who work in this realm are of easy virtue, and that their favors are among the rightful perquisites of those who work about the studios or in the profession even. Also, that unless they submit, they should be made to pay the penalty of ostracism. It sounds a little wild to the outsider of more conventional views, but so it is, just the same. End of part 1.